So today we're going to embark on a very exciting sugya, the discussion of linen and the obligation or lack thereof of linen garments in tittis. And the sugya begins on the top of the amud for easy reference with the Braisa Tanu Rabbanan, Sodin b'tzitzis b'shamay potrin u'beis hillel mechayvin, the top of Daf Mem Amud Aleph. And that should be translated as something with something, Beis Shammai say something, and Beis Hillel say something. So can somebody help me with what all these somethings are? What is a sadin? A sheet. And in the context, a linen garment. Okay, so a linen garment, bitzitzis. What are tzitzis? The strings, okay. So to put strings on a linen garment, Beis Shammai, thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nihiyah bidvaro.
Amen.
Beis Shammai say what about strings on a linen garment? It's patur, which means it's optional. So Beis Shammai would tell me then that if I have a linen talis, I do not need to put tzitzis on it. I can just wear a square linen talis without any tzitzis. A sadin b'tzitzis, a linen garment with strings. Beis Shammai or poter, they say it's optional. They say that I don't have to do it. So that's what Beis Shammai would say. If I wanted to wear a linen talis, I would not have to put tzitzis onto it. I'm just asking you to affirm. It's like when you put in the password and then confirm the password. So if this is what you just said, that Beis Shammai say that that you don't have to put tzitzis on a linen garment. So I'm just asking, confirm that's what Beis Shammai is saying?
Confirmed,
okay.
Read Rashi and then confirm.
And then 1 second, and Beis Hillel are Mechayev, so what does that mean? That Beis Hillel says that Beis Hillel are Mechayvin. That you are obligated. So Beis Hillel would say that if you're wearing a linen talis, that you do need to put tzitzis onto it. So that seems to be the machloket, that a son of linen garment, Beis Shammai said, exempt from tzitzis, and Beis Hillel say that it is obligated in tzitzis. What happens if you want to put tzitzis onto a linen garment? What would Beis Shammai say? Is it allowed or is it not allowed?
Beis Shammai say you cannot put wool on sadin or on pishtan, and there is no ether. They are not drushing smuchim.
Okay, one second. Before we get to Mr. Ben Chaviv's point, right, let's just work out. I heard from that direction. Somebody said if you wanted to put tzitzis onto a linen garment, what would Beis Shammai say?
Mark said optional.
It's optional. So optional means if you want to do it, you can do it. And if you want to not do it, then you don't have to do it. So it sounds like Beis Shammai would say that if you wish, then you may, but if you wish not, so then you may not. So that would seem to emerge, right, based on the simple reading of this braisa, right, that Beis Shammai say that if you want to put tzitzis onto your linen garment, you may, and if you don't want to, so then you don't have to. Right? If we take the literal reading, sadin b'tzitzis, linen garment with strings, Beis Shammai or poter, means you don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. Does somebody else want to say that it's not optional, that it's actually forbidden? It's a linen baguette, yes. Well, 1 second. Let's stop for a second. So we read the braisa, sadin, a linen garment with tzitzis, which everyone translated as strings. Beis Shammai or poter. Is somebody suggesting now an amendment to our reading of the braisa? Would you like to amend the braisa where tzitzis doesn't mean strings, but rather means wool strings? Do I hear the 2/3 majority necessary to ratify this amendment?
Yeah. Wool strings.
Well, wool strings, we could understand much more easily why they would pose a problem on a linen garment. Because of chatneys. And linen strings on a linen garment, what could be the problem with that?
No problem.
Okay, so let me just flesh out for a second what's happening over here. The word in the braisa is tzitzis. Right? Tzitzis sounds like it's generic. It doesn't differentiate between what color or what material it's made of. Tzitzis means the strings that you put on the garment. So when it says that Beis Shammai says that a linen garment is exempt from tzitzis, it sounds like it means, regardless of whether those tzitzis are made out of wool, whether they're made out of linen, whether they're blue, whether they're white, Beis Shammai say that a linen garment is exempt. And I think that that's Mr. Halshender's reading, that that a linen garment is totally exempt from tzitzis because the word tzitzis doesn't make any distinctions. Right? On the other hand, if you follow not the text, right, but the logic, which must inform the text, because the text obviously is a logical one, so then you can have the question, why in the world should a linen garment not be chayiv in tzitzis? Why should linen not be chayiv in tzitzis? So perhaps we have to suggest this amendment that we're talking about wool tzitzis, and the reason that a linen garment is exempt from wool tzitzis is because of the problem of shatni. So there's a little bit of a conflict here, right? We can either read the text literally, but stumble on some sort of a logical dilemma that's posed by the literal reading of the text, right? Or we can follow, we can make the logical amendment, but then we stumble upon the dilemma posed by the fact that we need to take the text away from its literal meaning and give a figurative meaning or make a qualification which the text does not allude to. Oh, excellent. So now there's a second question. Beis Shammai say potrin, that you're exempt. We're interpreting right now that poter means that it's optional. But if there's a problem of shatneys, of kilei begadim, according to Beis Shammai, so then they shouldn't have said potrin, that it's exempt, but they should have said osrin, it's forbidden. You're not allowed to put wool tzitzis on a linen garment. And so, it's not just a question of text versus logic, but even within the text, we have perhaps a second inference. No, your text, right? Tzitzis is across the board, right? And potrin, right, seems to indicate that it's optional, which if the problem were kilayim here, so then it shouldn't be optional, but rather should be forbidden. So But then you're going to get into the problem. Meaning your reading is consistent. I like your reading of the text. You're saying that Beis Shammai say that you can't even put linen, or you don't need to put linen tzitzis on a linen garment, right? And but you, if you want to put linen tzitzis on a linen garment, you may, and that's what potrin means. And there's no issue of kilayim here. We're not talking about exclusively wool tzitzis. Even linen tzitzis are included in Beis Shammai's exemption. And so that's what's going on over here. The only question is, like, why in the world would Beis Shammai say that a linen garment is exempt from linen tzitzis? What would be the problem with that? Text seems to say that, right? But logic, right, we're left very puzzled by why Beis Shammai would say that such a garment is exempt. So, you have just stumbled upon the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi interprets that when the Braisa says sadin bat tzitzis, it means a linen garment with techeles, with woolen blue strings. Beis Shammai say poter. Rashi says, just like tzitzis doesn't mean what it sounds like it means, but rather means the techeles. So poter also doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. It really means oser, that Beis Shammai says you may not put the woolen techeles strings onto a linen garment. And Beis Hillel say that you may, and therefore must, put the woolen tchela strings onto a linen garment. In contrast, Tosfos read this braisa the other way, the way that you initially read the braisa. Tzitzis refers to regardless of the color, regardless of the material. Beis Shammai say that you need not put even linen tzitzis onto a linen garment, but if you do put linen tzitzis onto a linen garment, you're okay, just that you don't have to, perhaps you shouldn't, but there's no prohibition against doing that. Why is there a problem? So that's an excellent dilemma, right? The question is, right? For Rashi, again, this is just the same challenge, right, that we posed to Tosfos reading before. Right? What's the logic of it? It fits very nicely with the text, Right? It fits with the word tzitzis. Tzitzis doesn't discriminate. It fits with the word poter. Right? Poter means it's optional. But what's the logic behind it? Excellent question. So we'll have to see. I think that the Gemara is going to address that question itself.
How do you escape Arba Kanfus? An Arba Kanfus, you have to have tzitzis.
Maybe it means Arba Kanfus of a woolen baguette.
Doesn't say that.
So yesterday we saw one opinion said that even a cotton baguette needs tzitzis midiraisa. And a second opinion says that either a wool baguette or a linen baguette needs tzitzis midiraisa. Maybe this is a third opinion that says that only a wool baguette needs tzitzis midiraisa, but any other baguette doesn't.
Where does it say that? It says abakavibidayim.
Maybe in the desert they only wore wool, so that was what the God was talking about.
Says that, then you're not saying that it means something else.
Right. So again, we had one opinion says that it means whether silk or cotton or linen or wool, they're all obligated in tzitzis.
That's material.
And now how did we get that? Tosfos said, because in the desert, they wore silk and cotton and linen and wool. And therefore, when God says, put tzitzis on the corners of your clothing, he means put tzitzis on the corners of your silk clothing, and tzitzis on the corners of your cotton clothing, and tzitzis on the corners of your linen clothing, and tzitzis on the corner of your woolen clothing. And then one second, there was a second opinion. The second opinion says, no, historically, in the desert, they did not wear silk. And they did not wear cotton. All that they wore was linen and wool. And so therefore, when God addressed them and says, Al kanfei vigdeihem lidorosam, the corners of your garments, it means the garments that you guys are wearing, which is linen garments and wool garments.
And Arba Kanfus doesn't mean anything. Four corners doesn't mean anything.
Four corners means four corners of the specifically delineated garments, meaning that there's more than one condition that a garment needs to fulfill in order to be obligated in tzitzis. Oh, so one, you have to deal with all the psukim. So you have on the one hand, Gedilim Tasalach al Arba Kanfos Ksuscha Asher Tchaseba.
That's what I'm referring to.
Okay, so really what you want to say is what about the juxtaposition, the smichos of Lo Sabah Shatnes Tsemer Ufishtim Yachdav Gedilim Tasalach? And that, I think...
You cancel out the problem of Arba Kanfus because of the Gedil and Tassel.
What's the problem of Arba Kanfus, though?
It's that problem. It's a specific statement. It's a direction. That if you have a beggar with Arba Kanfus, you have to have some kind of tzitzis on it.
But is that what the Pasuk means?
It's just what it says. Gedil and Tassel al Arba Kanfus. It says, an Arba Kanfus, you should have Gedilim. That's what it says.
Yeah, but it says, on the clothes that you wear, and the clothes that you wear, in the Torah, the default is either Tzemer or Vishtim. That's what we learn.
What do you need the default? When you have, the first part says that you should put it, then you say, now you're looking for an escape.
Right, so again, there's a broader methodological question over here, which is, to what extent do we allow the parameters or the standards or the customs of the Dor HaMidbar, right, to dictate future halakha? So we saw that, let's say, when it comes to melachos on Shabbos, so you may have that idea, Rabbi Maskowitz suggested, melacha sheinat tzricha legufa, if this was what it was done, if this is the way that the melacha was done in the Mishkan, then it'll be asur for all future generations. If this is not the way that the melacha was done in the Mishkan, so then it will not be a melacha d'oraisa for all future generations. The pattern for how we observe the mitzvos was set in the generation of the desert. And so the suggestion that Tosfos is making is that the pattern for tzitzis was also determined in the desert. So the way that they put on tzitzis in the desert, that's the way that we need to keep on putting on tzitzis nowadays. If there was something that they didn't do in the desert, if there was garments that they never wore in the desert, and they never began to put tzitzis onto such garments in the desert, then we also would have no biblical obligation to put tzitzis onto those garments.
We're not positively certain what they were wearing in the desert.
Oh, so that's a big machlokas tanaim. So what we're suggesting right now is, in the absence of, right, of more definitive historical evidence, we'll just trust the tradition, and we'll say that that Rava had a tradition that they wore even silk and cotton in the desert, not just wool and linen. And Rav Nachman had a tradition that they wore wool and linen, but not silk and cotton. And perhaps Beis Shammai had a tradition that in the desert they only wore wool, and they didn't wear any linen, in which case we would say that only wool garments are obligated in tzitzis, and linen garments would be exempt.
And I find this as an escape.
I'll tell you why. Because you have been conditioned by generations and generations of psak like Beis Hillel. And so you find it incomprehensible. What was Beis Shammai thinking? That happens very often when we encounter an opinion which has not been practiced as halacha l'maisa for hundreds of years. Right? But one of the challenges and the part of the excitement of learning Gemara is that we get to challenge our assumptions and then rebuild them from scratch and thereby gain a much better understanding of why we assume what we assume.
When I talk to kids, to our kids, other kids, and since it has to, Beckett has Abra Kalfas, you have to wear tzitzis. I don't have any escape clauses, no ways out. Four corners require tzitzis. I'm brainwashed.
Yeah, you are brainwashed. You're right.
I admit.
So Beis Shammai say, okay, so by the way, this is all Tosfos interpretation of Beis Shammai, right? Keep in mind, Rashi says that Beis Shammai says it's obligated in linen tzitzis, just that you can't put on wool tzitzis. Tosfos, who expand this based on the literal reading of the text, sadin b'tzitzis, Beis Shammai says it's exempt. Yes.
When you talk about sharpness, does that apply to the thread which is used to assemble the garment too, or that's too minute to be considered to be a bit?
Yeah, even if I had one string of linen in this wool suit, so that would make it shatnez.
Okay.
So you walk along Main Street, you'll see that some of the stores say we test for shatnez, mm-hmm. So we assume in general that a regular suit is not going to have a string of linen like over here, right? But they say that we are concerned that maybe there's some linen over here, right? Or maybe there's linen in the string that's used to sew up the buttons or one or two other places, and so they know where there's like a some percentage likelihood that there's shatnez, and they'll check it to make sure that all of those threads are not made out of linen but are made out of something else. Yes. Right. The reason that we don't check this part of the suit nowadays is because the likelihood that there's a linen thread in the sleeve of a wool suit is so close to zero that we don't even have to look into it. We don't have to worry about it. But the likelihood that there's a linen thread in this buttonhole, right, is higher. It's probably approaches 10 or 15% depending on what type of suit you're wearing, and that's why we have to check there as well as in the collar and various other places. How the suits are made. So we know that the suits are made very often. I'm not sure. I'm wearing a cotton tzitzit, talus cotton with wool strings. You would think because of min kanaf, but let's see a little bit further now. So we're stuck with a logical dilemma. So we have here the idea Rashi gives a logically coherent reading of Beis Shammai, right? But that's not necessarily consistent with the literal reading of the text. Tosfos give us a literal reading of Beis Shammai, but that seems to be difficult to understand logically, and it could be that this is what the later Tanaim were struggling with. First, the Mishnah says, Halakha kedivrei Beis Hillel, which almost seems redundant, in light of the fact that we always pass in like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai, and in fact it makes it more surprising that Rav Amram Gaon paskins like Beis Shammai against the explicit psak of the Braisa, but the Braisa says halacha ke Beis Hillel, and then the Braisa continues, Amar Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Tzadok, halo kol amatil tcheles b'Yerushalayim. Isn't it so that whoever puts tcheles in Yerushalayim, eino ela min hamat mihin, he is from those who are matmiya, tema, astonishing. It's weird, it's strange, it's unusual, it's astonishing for a person to put techeles in Yerushalayim. What's missing from this sentence? Right? It's strange, unusual, astonishing for a person to put techeles in Yerushalayim. What's missing from the sentence?
Only Yerushalayim.
I'm looking for something more basic. It's astonishing for someone to put tcheles in Yerushalayim. Where is he putting the tcheles? Is he putting the tcheles in his pocket? Is he putting the
on
the So in other words, in Yerushalayim, just like nowadays, they didn't have any tcheles? They didn't. It was weird to see somebody wearing tcheles in Yerushalayim. No, what's the, so? Let's be more specific. It was weird for someone to put tcheles where?
On the banker.
On a linen baguette, right? It was weird for people to put tzitzis on linen begadim in Yerushalayim. The Braisos are very, very terse, Right? Very often they leave out parts of the sentence in order to leave room for the oral tradition to maintain, to retain its oral character. And so here, right, it almost goes without saying that what's missing is, it was weird for somebody to put treles on, because treles is made out of wool, so it was weird for them to put treles onto a linen beged in Yerushalayim. Let me... Beishamai are Tanoim. They're allowed to argue on the other Tanoim. Asid Uchalosa say is already the Amoraim, explaining some of the earlier Tanoim. So Rabbi Eliezer is a Tanor as well. Right? But you're making an assumption. Let me spell out your assumption. You are assuming that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with whom? With Beis Hillel or with Beishamai? You're assuming that because Rabbi Eliezer says it was considered weird.
We don't see Aseh Tov Halosa.
So you think that Rabbi Eliezer supports Beis Shammai, who says that they were not supposed to put treles onto linen garments. Now, is that the only way to read Rabbi Eliezer?
No. Why not?
What's the other way? You are only inferring that from my question. I'm asking you to draw an inference from the text. Is it usher to be weird?
No. A lot of people are for that reason.
Yeah. Now they say a story with Rabbi Soloveitchik that somebody once went over to him and he said, "I'm an Ashkenazi, am I allowed to gamble?" Because we know that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that gambling is usur because it's like stealing from the other people who place bets, but the Ramah paskins that the definition of stealing is a little bit different from the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins it, and therefore that taking money that people, you know, bet, right, on the outcome of a game of cards, that's not considered stealing from them. So he said, "I'm an Ashkenazi, can I gamble?" So Rabbi Soloveitchik told him, "No." The guy was shocked. "What do you mean? The Ramah says that it's not stealing." So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, "It may not be stealing, but it doesn't stop it from being stupid, and it's usher to be stupid." So, but
what about a beggar? It's not linen, and it's not
wool. 1 second. So that may be about being stupid, but what about being weird? It's not usher to be weird. So just because Rabbi Eliezer says, or perhaps this is how some Rishonim read the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer is not supporting Beis Shammai and saying that it is usur, but rather he's saying just the opposite. In Yerushalayim, if you went out with a linen garment and treles, people would look at you as weird. Nobody wears treles on linen garments. They probably didn't wear four-corner linen garments at all. They would make sure to round off one of the corners or something along those lines if they had a linen garment. They would look weird, but it is not forbidden, it's not usur, it is simply weird, in which case Rabbi Eliezer is in line not with Beis Shammai, but with Beis Hillel. Yes?
Well, it's silk beged. Is that, it's not linen and it's not wool.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fall in any category? Is it our conference? Does it have any classification? Silk.
A silk baguette, so...
Which is not linen and it's not wool.
So again, yesterday, what did we see yesterday? That Rav Nachman says that it is pater from tzitzis midiraisa, it's chayiv and tzitzis midirabanon, and you're not allowed to put kelayim tzitzis on it, meaning you can't put wool treles and linen white. Rava says that it's obligated in tzitzis midiraisa, and back in the days when we had treles, you can even put wool treles and linen white strings on it.
What, on silk?
On silk, yeah. As the Shulchan Aruch paskins and the Sfardim should, you know, follow this, that it is only chayiv midrabanan, and therefore if a person has a choice between a silk or a katan, talis or talis katan, you should go with a wool one, because wool is the only material that we wear nowadays which is chayiv and tzitzis midiraisa. You're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah with anything other than a wool tzitzis, the mitzvah midiraisa, according to the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah and Ashkenazim paskin that you can fulfill the mitzvah even with a katan or a silk talis katan on the diorisa level, and so that's how the Ashkenazim passed in.
Where was I yesterday?
You should have been here yesterday. That's it. We don't have a recording of yesterday.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
That.
It's
since they only specify Yerushalayim,
that's a good question. That is a good question. It's the minhag Yerushalayim, and you're saying that maybe it was a local minhag, and that elsewhere, it was not considered unusual to put. Maybe he's talking about the historical reality. It could be that the minhag, you know, caught on afterwards everywhere else.
Because a lot of times we say, in the West they do this, but here they do this.
Right. Yeah.
How yes, it would be like silk.
Like silk, yeah.
Is considered the
standard?
The
gold standard of Jewish custom. Right? It could be, even though nowadays there's also customs, right? You probably say, Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen v'amen, right, in Ma'ariv at night, but in Yerushalayim they don't. So there are divergent customs even nowadays between the Minhag Yerushalayim and the Minhage.
He's probably referring to an earlier generation. And because they usually refer to an earlier generation.
Right, so again, it could be that because Rabbi Eliezer quoted this custom, perhaps in a favorable light, that he intended to hint to us that it should be more widely adopted, not just in Yerushalayim. So let me ask you a question. Rabbi Eliezer says it's weird. Let's understand for the moment that he means it's weird but not forbidden. So why actually did they avoid it in Yerushalayim? Why did they avoid putting tcheles on linen garments in Yerushalayim? Well, he's just documenting the historical reality. Right, but how did that reality originate? Presumably, right, this is what the Ma'arik says about all minhagim, right, that when a minhag originates, so there's two ways that it could originate. Either the rabbi could say in a drasha, I think this is a good minhag that people should start, and then people will start it, right, or people can spontaneously adapt the minhag, but again, the rabbis see the minhag and they give it their affirmation, they think it's a good minhag, and that's why we generally treat a minhag, right, as being very, very authoritative, because it's presumed to have been initiated and supported by pretty much every rabbi who observed it, who didn't go on the record against it. Now, there are some minhagim where you have rabbis in every generation saying this is an awful minhag, but most minhagim are not that way, and those are the type of minhagim that we give extreme value and weight to in the halakhic discourse. So,
but the terminology eino ela minhag, it seems to be downgrading it. It's not the best. It's just it's something. Maybe it's too showy.
It's weird. Yeah.
Pretty showy.
Showy. Interesting. So you're saying in Yerushalayim they avoided it because it was ostentatious.
That's what I'm trying to. It seems to be. It's excessive.
Mm-hmm.
It implies excessiveness.
It's dangerous.
Dangerous?
Yeah. Since you become puzzled, then you were.
Ah. Okay. Excellent. You're prescient here. We're gonna right. That's gonna seem to be, I think, what most of the Amoraim attribute to Rabbi Eliezer. Yes. That it's Maris Ayin issue, right? That's not so much a question that we're worried that people are actually gonna wear Shatnez, but we're worried that people are going to forget about the prohibition of Shatnez. They'll see people walking around with wool and linen every day all over, and they'll say, they'll forget about Shatnez, just like Shatnez was forgotten, right, until a couple of decades ago when somebody kind of discovered it again and started all these Shatnez testing laboratories. Okay, so we have Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, we've got these different interpretations of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, now we have Rabbi Eliezer, we're not sure whether he agrees with Beis Shammai, and he means to say, like, it's weird because no one did it because it was Usur, or whether he agrees with Beis Hillel, and he means to say it might have been weird because of Maris Ayin, or because of a concern that that people, you know, may end up having their tzitzis puzzled but continue to wear the wool tzitzis on a linen garment, but it's not actually genuinely Usur, unless the tzitzis become puzzled. As long as the tzitzis are kosher, he's saying, it's weird, but not forbidden. And finally, we have a third Tana, and that's going to bring the Braisa to its conclusion, and that is, Amar Rebbe, says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Im Kain, right, if it's only weird, and not actually forbidden, Lama Asruha, why did they forbid it? Now, that's a very strange question. Right? Im Kain, if it's not forbidden, so Lama Asruha, why did they forbid it? It almost makes it sound, right, like it is forbidden. So which one is he saying? Is he saying that it is forbidden, like Beis Shammai? Right? Or is he saying that it's not forbidden, right, like Beis Hillel? Im Kain makes it sound like, okay, Lama Asruha, maybe earlier on, at an earlier time in history, it was not forbidden, but only weird, or perhaps it wasn't even weird, And then at a later point in history, they convened a legislature and they enacted a law not to put at least treles onto linen four-cornered garments. So why did they make such a law? Lefi she'ein bekiyin. Because people are not experts. There was a lack of expertise. People had not come to this series of shiurim. They were unfamiliar with the halachos of tzitzis. And therefore, if we had this dangerous, controversial pair of tzitzis and we let the stores sell it and we let people wear it, then we're worried that people, because of their lack of expertise, might run afoul of some halacha.
Shatnez. You're weakening the standard.
Exactly, right? Meaning when people are not familiar with the fine distinctions, so then they may cross the border between, right, something which is forbidden and something which is permitted if you let them come too close, right, to something that's forbidden. It's that people have to be accustomed, right, to making the fine distinctions if you want to let them approach very, very close to the border between permissible and forbidden. So the Gemara is going to spend the next Amud trying to figure out what exactly is the connection. What are we worried about? That because people are not Bekiyin, therefore we're concerned that they'll run afoul of some sort of Isser. How exactly do we envision that mistake, that error, coming to the fore and transforming into reality? What exactly are we worried about? So the Gemara is going to have four or five different suggestions, and it's going to take us up until the middle of Mem Amud Beis to actually come up with a conclusive suggestion. So I'm just going to ask you to bear with me as we go through the Gemara's initial suggestions, and then we go through why the Gemara rejects those suggestions. So the Gemara wants to know. Right, exactly. So Rebbe himself uses conflicting words. On the one hand, he says he makes it sound like it's only something unusual and astonishing, but not forbidden. And at the same time, right, he also makes it sound like it is forbidden. So you have to interpret one or the other non-literally. Right? Either you'll say that when Rebbe says asruha, he doesn't mean it's forbidden. He means simply, why did they not wear it? Why did they opt out of wearing it? And that's all that he meant by asrua, meaning why did they treat it as if it were asr, not why did they actually make it asr by passing legislation. That's one interpretation of Rabbi. Why did they treat it as if it were asr? The other interpretation is that asrua means literally that it is asr, and that means that you have to reinterpret what matmian means. Matmian means not that it's astonishing, right, but still mutter. It means it's astonishing because it's not mutter. Right? The people of Yerushalayim would be astonished if they saw a person wearing treles on a linen garment because that is asr, and they would be astonished to see a person wearing an avera garment in the street. So we'll have to reinterpret one or the other, but the text itself has conflicting inferences.
So because someone's not balki, I have to make some asr just because someone's not a balki?
All over. We have that all the time. Throughout Shas, like they talk about walking on Harabayas nowadays. Right? So if you look at what the Gedolim say about walking on Harabayas, they say, yes, you may know, right, that there's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Rosh, about where the Beis HaMikdash used to stand. And Moshe Feinstein says, right, that we can guarantee that there's a certain, you know, 10 Amma strip at the side where the Beis, that was not where the Beis HaMikdash was built. And you can look at the archaeology, right, and all of the evidence, and perhaps you can even identify, right, more precisely where the Beis HaMikdash was. But, right, if you go up on Harabayas and you make sure to stay away from the place where the Beis HaMikdash was standing, then someone else, right, who's not as familiar with the fine details of the archaeology and the Mishnah, right, and Maseches Tamid that talks about where the Beis HaMikdash was, that person, right, might walk indiscriminately all over Harabayas, including on the place where the Beis HaMikdash was, and then he would transgress the Isser D'oraisa, right, of Yishalchu min HaMachaneh kol Seruah v'chol Zav v'chol Tamei LaNafesh, right, Lichutz LaMachaneh Tishalchum v'lo Yitamu es Machaneihem Asher Ni Shochein B'Socham, you cannot come to the Machaneh Shechina when you're Tamei Meis. And so we're not supposed to walk even on the permissible parts of Harabayas, lest someone who's less accustomed to differentiating with these fine distinctions come to walk even on the forbidden parts of Harabayas.
I learned the Harabayas is what you love to go. No, I heard what you said.
So the answer is, that's exactly what we're saying over here. You are, again, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, you're allowed to go there. If you go to the website of the Mechon HaMikdash, they will give you the Hebrew and the English translation of Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva. But at the same time, right, the custom of the Charedim, right, the Dvar Hashem, or as you say in Havara Sfardit, the Charedim, right, is not to go up on Har HaBayis. Because they're concerned that other people might walk even on the forbidden parts of Har HaBayis. We know the distinction that where the line is between permissible and forbidden, but there's a concern that other people who are not as distinctive might blur that line and come to tread even on the forbidden parts of Har HaBayis. Now there are those who say that I don't belong to that camp, and other people make sure to go up on Har HaBayis twice a year. I've met Chashev Rabbanim who have done that as well. Although I'm saying that there's a big dispute about this. God, there was Rav Moshe's son-in-law. He said Rav Moshe Feinstein said that you're allowed to go up there, so he made sure to go up there. But
On top when they go on the ladder, part on top there when you go through that door.
I've never been there.
Right.
So
I know the brisker only, as I understood, do not go to the council. They come back.
Yeah, the Tzitz Eliezer brings that down. He says that they're worried that maybe the Kosel is not the outer wall of Har HaBayis, and that maybe even the Kosel Plaza is part of Har HaBayis. But I think generally it's accepted that the Kosel wall was the border of Har HaBayis. Okay, so we have here this Braisa, and we have all of the dilemmas, the difficulties, the confusions that the Braisa inspires within us. And now we're up to the Gemara's analysis. What exactly is the connection? Because people are not Bekian, what exactly is the sequence of events that we're afraid of that's going to lead a person who sees someone wearing tcheles on a linen garment to transgress the prohibition of kilayim? So the Gemara says, Amar le Rava, bar Rav Chana le Rava. So Rava said to Rava, what's the concern of Ein Bekiyin? Lirmu be Asara, get together 10 people. Vinafku l'shuka, go out to the marketplace, umefarsam alamilsa, and publicize it. In other words, right, why, just because people think that it's forbidden to wear techeles on a linen garment, why should we just cave in, right, to the pressure of the street? Let's educate people and let them know that it is permissible, and then we'll get rid of this strange and unnecessary custom. Okay, so backtrack for a second. How is Rava understanding, what does Rava understand is the meaning of Lefi She'ein Bekiyin?
They won't talk.
Hmm?
They weren't taught.
Right? In other words, why did this custom originate in Yerushalayim not to wear four-cornered linen garments with tcheles? Because they didn't learn Hilchos Tzitzis. That's how Rava's understanding it. So, just in light of that, is that supporting Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel, right? That really they should be wearing tcheles in the linen garments, right? But because they never learned, so they don't. So says Rava.
Not kosher. Someone's going to come from Timbuktu.
No, that's not Rava's. That's not Rava's Rava's interpretation is that even in Yerushalayim, they just had not learned Hilchos Tzitzis, and that's why they neglected to put tcheles on their linen garments, and that's why they would be astonished if you walked through Yerushalayim with tcheles on your linen garments. So Rava says, I have an easy solution for that. Right, if that's the only concern, right, if that's the historical reality, I mean, so then why didn't the Chachamim of Yerushalayim get together 10 people and make a parade, a Techeles parade through Yerushalayim and put on linen talisos with Techeles, and that would have dispelled people's ignorance. Now they would be aware and informed that a linen garment does require tcheles, like Beis Hillel say. So if the only problem is ignorance, that's very easy to dispel the ignorance. Get together 10 people, go out into the marketplace, umefarsam alamilsa, and publicize it. So the Gemara then says, kol shekein dimitmahu ilavan, then certainly they would be even more astonished. In other words, right, that making a parade is not the best idea, because then everyone will go home and say that the rabbis are violating halacha. It's not going to educate them, right? It's simply going to diminish their respect, right, for the authority of their rabbi. So a parade is not exactly going to work, but right, there's a better way to do it. Right? If you want to educate people, perhaps the best pedagogical tool is not a parade, but a lecture, a shiur. Right? So says Rava, the lidrusha bepirka. So let's teach it in the drasha. Let's agra de pirka. Right? That's where the agra de pirka comes from. The perek, right, was that gap, the interval, the vacation time, right, in the agricultural year where people used to come to the Beis Medrash and learn halachos. And so let's make a yom yun on hilchos tzitzis, and we'll tell everybody that we'll show them from the sources that it's permissible and even obligatory to put techeles on linen garments.
Like we do it now.
Well, do we do it now? Well, we do agra de pirkas now, but we don't tell people, or hopefully nobody's told you to put treles onto your linen garments because we don't do that, right? At this point in the Gemara, it might, right? But yes, definitely. So why not just teach everybody in agra de pirka that it's permissible? So the Gemara says, Gzeira mishum kla'ila. Now we're reinterpreting what a lefi she'in bekiyin means. It's not simply that people are ignorant and we can solve the problem by giving them a dose of knowledge, but rather there's a gzeira here. There's a concern that if we permit people to wear tcheles on their linen garments, that they may come to wear kla'ilon. Very important word in Hilchos Tzitzis. What's kla'ilon? It's faux techeles, exactly. Faux techeles, it's fake. It looks like techeles, but it is not real techeles. And we're worried if a person's wearing real techeles, so then they can wear real techeles, which is wool, on a garment which is linen. There's no problem of shatnez, because the Torah says that the two parashiyos are juxtaposed to teach us that at least in some circumstances you're allowed to wear tzitzis, right, which is kilayim, right? However, right, if a person is not wearing tchilas, so then you're not allowed to wear all white strings that are wool on a garment which is linen. The juxtaposition, the smichus, the Gzeiras HaKasuv, doesn't extend so far as to permit a case of lavan without tcheles that's made out of wool on a linen garment. Now, how we know that, we're gonna deal with in 10 or 15 minutes, but that's the assumption of the Gemara right now, that wool, white, without any blue, cannot be placed on a linen garment, and that would be a problem, whether the Araisa or the Rabbanon of Shatnez. So the Gemara says there's a problem of kla'ilon. The Gemara then challenges that. What problem is there? Lo yehei ela lavan. So, fine. Let's say that this faux techeles isn't techeles, but it's no worse than having four white strings. Think back to the beginning 3 weeks ago. Right? Tosfo say, if you don't have techeles, so then put on four white strings. This is one of his best proofs. Right, that there's no problem of Baal Tosif, right, by putting on four white strings, right, two of them either are allowed or even are replacements for the tcheles. There's no problem. It says, good, so you have two white strings and two faux tcheles strings, which halachically have the same status as white strings. And so what's the problem? Right, you're still fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, and since you're still fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, there's no problem of shatnez, right? Because it says lo slabash shatnez tzemro fishtim yachdav gedilim ta'aselach. The two parashios are juxtaposed to teach me that when I am in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, I do not have to be worried about the isser of shatnez. So here I've got two white strings, two faux techeles strings on my linen garment. The strings are made out of wool. The garment is made out of linen. But am I in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis?
Yes.
Yes. Therefore, do I have to be worried about the Isser of Shatnez?
No.
No, right? It's just one from the other. I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Therefore, I don't have to worry about the Isser of Shatnez.
The people won't know the difference. They see blue. If they don't see the green, they're not. The same word that people will see the blue. So
So now you're saying that it's no worse than if you have four white, but people are still seeing the blue, and they'll think that, that it's you know, everybody's parading around, so Shabbos is okay.
People will think that Shatnez, meaning that you're talking about Boaz's Maris Ayin issue.
Right.
Like, why are we not worried about Maris Ayin? So where did you get that from? Where did you get the Maris Ayin from? From Rashi. Where does Rashi say that? One second, I remember seeing that also. Eino ela min ha-matmiin mitameya eskola roin she'omer kilayim hulavush and at the base hillel palig Rabbi Eliezer. I thought I saw it someplace else in Rashi, because that Rashi I can just read as saying that people will be astonished because they'll think that he's wearing kilayim. There's another place where Rashi, I think, is more explicit. He says we're worried that they're going to see him and they're going to go out and wear kilayim even when they're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because this Rashi is just saying people will think he's wearing kilayim. Okay, so let people think that he's wearing kilayim. No. You're not allowed to look as if you're doing an avira. You can't give the impression. Where's that? Which Dibra Maschil? Kol Shekin. Right, already down into the wide lines. De matmi de mismahi alavan de amri anashim agunim ka'elu lovshim kilayim. But again, so that's just right there. I think it's talking about something else. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you're in a place where people treat something as being asur, even though you know that it's mutter, you should nonetheless consider it to be asur. Right? So you go to a certain community in a certain neighborhood, and they all think that the Erev there is pasul. So you shouldn't go, if you're a guest of the community, you shouldn't go out and carry something in public, you know, in that community, because they all think that it's asur. You shouldn't go and be matir it in front of them. So that's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. There's another halacha that I don't think is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Midrashim say that when you're in the presence of people who have an elevated standard of conduct, so then you should also try to lift yourself up, at least for the moment when you're in their presence. Right? Like for me, that it's always if I'm a guest in someone's house and everyone in the house puts on their hat and jacket for Birkas Hamazon. So even though that's not usually what I do, but if everyone there is doing it, so I'll do it as well. Usually I don't wash my machronim like the Vilna Gaon. Right? Sometimes I don't wash my machronim at all, but if I'm in a house where everyone goes, right, everyone washes my machronim with Netilas Yadayim from a cup, right? So then I'll do it because I seize the opportunity of being in the company, right, of people who have an elevated standard of conduct, at least for the moment, to elevate my own standard of conduct as well. So you have that idea, and so you might say that yes, that at least the first halacha, don't go ahead and carry, right, if you're a guest of a community where everyone thinks the Erev is asur, you know that it's mutter, right, but everyone thinks that it's asur and you're not supposed to do something which is going to astonish them and make them think that you're not behaving in a halachic manner. So that's not quite the same, right, as Maris Ayin, right? We know Maris Ayin has two different components, right? There's a component of guarding your own reputation, right? And there's a component also of not misleading people, right, who are going to imitate you into transgressing the halacha. In this case, it's the guarding your reputation part that may converge with this halacha of not doing something astonishing, right, where people believe that it's asur. But Rashi, I thought somewhere, talks actually about the second concern as well, right? Namely, that you're going to mislead people into transgressing the halacha. They'll see that you're wearing linen garment with wool tzitzis, and they'll think that you could wear linen garment with the wool embroidery or something like that, which would definitely be an isser of kilayim. Okay, we'll have to look for that. We'll have to look for that again later. But as for now, the Gemara seems to be ignoring that. The Gemara seems to feel that that's not really a major concern. The concern is not what uneducated people who observe us are going to think, but rather there is some other concern. The concern is that I may actually end up wearing kilayim myself. It's such as, said the Gemara, if the treles that I purchased is not real treles but is faux treles, so then I don't have the heter of the smichos of the psukim, and I'm going to end up wearing unsanctioned kilayim. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Right? It's not as if when you're fulfilling the mitzvah of treles, that's when I have an out from kilayim, but when I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, I had out from kilayim. And so it makes no... It's true that the best way to fulfill tzitzis is to have Tcheles and Lavan, and so that for sure gives me an out from Kilayim, but Lo Yehei El Lavan, let this faux Tcheles, let it be just regular white strings, but since I'm still in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tzitzis, therefore, I should not be in violation of the Isser of Kilayim. That seems to be how the Gemara is understanding it. I'm fulfilling Tzitzis. I am not violating Kilayim. And to that, the Gemara answers, and I think maybe we'll conclude with this. The Gemara says, Kiddereish Lakish. Sorry. Kivan de Efshar B'minon. Right? Since you could have had, if you're having pure snow white Tzitzis strings, you could have done that exclusively with linen. And in other words, to put on techeles on a linen garment, you have no choice but to use wool. But if you're putting just white strings onto a linen garment, you don't need to use wool. You could use all linen white strings. And therefore, kivan de efshar b'minon, since it is possible to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis with linen strings on the linen garment, therefore, it's not permissible to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis with white strings on the linen garment. Kidei Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish said, de amar Reish Lakish said, kol makom, every place, she'ata motze asei velo sasei, that you find a mitzvah sasei that conflicts, that clashes with a mitzvah lo sasei. Im ata yachol l'kayim es shneim, if you're able to fulfill both of them, both the asei and the lo sasei, mutav, then wonderful, fulfill both of them. But im lav, if you cannot fulfill both of them, if you have a choice, you can either fulfill the asei at the expense of violating the lo tasei, or you can uphold the lo tasei at the expense of neglecting the asei. If you have a clash and only one of them can possibly be observed, yavo asei v'yidche es lo tasei, let the asei come and push aside the lo tasei. So if you have Tcheles, and you have a choice between neglecting the Tcheles or violating the Isser of Shatnez, so there it is E'efshar L'kayim Shneim. There's no way that you're going to get the mitzvah of Tcheles on a linen garment without violating Shatnez. So we'll say, Asei Doche Lo Tasei. Impossible to fulfill both of them, so that say will take precedence, and you'll wear the tzitzis with the tcheles, even though it's in violation of kilayim. But if you don't have tcheles, and all you have is white strings, and you have a large selection of white strings, some of them are wool, and some of them are linen, there is no heter to put the wool white strings on a linen talis. Choose the linen white strings and put them on a linen talis. And therefore, says the Gemara, it's not going to help to say, oh, lo yehei el alavan, I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, therefore I don't have to worry about kilayim. The only time that I don't have to worry about kilayim is when I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and there's no way to fulfill that mitzvah without violating kilayim. But here, there is a way to fulfill that mitzvah without violating kilayim, namely, just pick the linen strings that are available to me. It's not as if one of these are tcheles, which can't be made out of linen. And therefore, I would not have permission to violate kilayim, and that's why lefi she'ein b'kiyin, we have to say, don't wear tcheles on your linen garments, because maybe you'll end up wearing faux tcheles on your linen garments, and faux tcheles on linen garments would be a bona fide transgression of kilayim, because it is efshar that you could have just had all linen white strings, and there was no need to put wool there, and so that right now is the interim. We'll just leave off with that, why the Gemara is worried not putting tcheles onto linen garments.
When people don't use tcheles, they don't use tcheles like